Good evening. Welcome. If you have this songbook, when Jesus comes, if you've left yours at home, every home sings, number 14. Only this one, it is number 1. In the When Jesus Comes, it is number 1. Christ Returns is the title of this song. So if you do not have this songbook, turn to Every Home Sings. It is number 14, 1-4. This song was left by Dr. Johnson. Now, Johnson was one of a kind. No one was like him. I've heard so many other preachers from China, as good as he, they could preach. However, none of them had results like Dr. Johnson. Today, we are happy to announce the graduation service of Far Eastern Bible College. That is a fruit of Johnson, because it is founded by a fruit of Johnson. Now, what is so great about him? By their works, you know the tree, by their fruits. Dr. Johnson left behind over 100 gospel bands that continue to be active witnesses of the Lord Jesus Christ. I am a fruit of Johnson. You say, how come? Well, I missed the dedication service in Singapore. So one day in 1938, Mother said to me, Samuel, would you like to come with us to Mua? Now, we lived in Batok Pahat, so Tomua was 32 miles away. I said, surely I'd like to come along. And there, the doctor challenged us, young people, and I said to some of you here, young people, as long as you're under 50, you're still young. How many of you would like to give your lives to serve the Lord? I put up my hand, and he says, come to the prayer room, and we have prayers together. So he prayed, Lord, take the life of this young man, young person. And I never forgot that. Now, you say, that was 1938. My testimony goes to 1968. When my promise was activated in 1938, I promised, and I had never forgot that promise, by the fruit, know the tree. I said, dear friends, what we need today is young people to consecrate and give their lives to serve the Lord, to follow the Lord, and to be true to their promise. Thank God, I never forgot that promise. How do you keep that promise? Well, 38, 48, 38, 39, 40, Japanese occupation invasion came in 41, and we were overrun by the Japanese in a matter of 70 days. The quickest conquest of territory in modern warfare was by the Japanese army. What do we do? For 4 years, we couldn't go to school, but only studied Nippongo. Some of you do nowadays still go to Japan for Japanese studies. When you're sent, on scholarship, but there was no scholarship. You just study and pass exams to get into some kind of employment under the Japanese. Did I forget my vow? Answer is no. Never forgot the vow. 1938, 48, 58, 68. I took that vow seriously and effected that vow. I say to my resignation from the university, you know, it is not easy, and very few people will want to resign from the university post, particularly from the chair of KK Hospital. Some of you know the Kanagawa Hospital. This past week, one of the members there from the Channel News Asia came and asked me, did you work in the Kanagawa Hospital? I said, yes. Say, what is the matter? We heard that you had delivered. At that time, I said, I did not deliver, but these were mostly done by midwives. All right. Are you one of the team? I say, yes, I was one of the team. I more or less supervised the midwives to deliver babies. And do you know how many babies we delivered? 40,000 in 1 year. Average is 100 plus. The record is about 170 odd. Amazing. When I went to England to study, the nurses in the maternity ward were complaining. They said, oh, today we had a hectic day. I said, what happened? Oh, we had 6 deliveries. I say, 6? And you complain? We had 176. So this is the background. At that time, I sent in my resignation. A friend afterwards asked me, hey, did you ever regret? I said, no. I got the better thing for the lesser thing. The bigger thing for the lesser. Why should I regret? Oh, dear friends, serve the Lord while he may be found. So, having given my vow in 1938, in 1968, I sent in my resignation, and what happened? In 1985, after preaching the service, the message on the Sunday, I came down from the pulpit, this pulpit. As I was walking there, came a man who spoke only Cantonese. I said, what is the matter? When I am ready to start to do my house, will you come to Perth, Australia, to start a church? I say, of course, if you can do a house and speak no English, able to go to Australia and do a house, and you say, will you come and help us do a church? I say, most certainly. Next year, Chinese New Year, February the 2nd, more or less. 92 people came for the inaugural service at this man's home. Mr. and Mrs. Sito. Ever heard of their surname? I'm no, but he's got surname Sito. So this is the background. Last week I was there in Perth to celebrate 28 years of Perth BPCWA. Does it pay to be a servant of God? Oh, dear friends, let us sing that song again. Christ returns. This is the fruit of John's soul. He left it to us, and we sing it to rouse our spirits to know that the Lord is coming, and the faithful are called upon to serve Him, to be ready for His coming. We sing it twice again. We read in the passage of Scripture, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, of the conversion and the spreading of the gospel throughout the Holy Land and the surrounding regions of the Mediterranean through one man called Saul. Now, what I'm impressed with is to impress on you also that this man was Saul of Tarsus. Saul was a destroyer of Christians, and his ambition was to destroy Christians in the testimony, and he was so zealous, he even got papers of authority and warrants of arrest, and he went to no less a city than Damascus. Do you know Damascus, capital of Syria? And he was on the way there when Saul, the destroyer of Christians, met the head of the church, Jesus Christ himself. I think this is one of the most thrilling stories of conversion. An enemy of Jesus Christ was accosted and met with Jesus Christ himself. How was it? On the way, suddenly, about midday, he was struck down by a light from heaven that pierced his eyes and dropped into the ground that he could not move. And his eyes were blinded. He lost his sight, and he lost his senses. And he said, all he could say was, "Lord, who are you?" Saul, destroyer of Christians, met Jesus Christ himself. Amazing, I say. That is much more powerful and unique, more powerful than any conversion under John Sung. Saul, the destroyer of Christians, he was so zealous that he took out papers from the high priest to go to Damascus to arrest Christians. And it is recorded he was present at the stoning of the first Christian martyr. He was aiding and abetting by watching over the clothing of those who stoned Stephen. So this is on the road to Damascus. Paul at that time was known as Saul. Saul of Tarsus. How many of you know where Tarsus is? Today it is not known as Tarsus, but it's somewhere in Turkey. Paul never knew this Savior of his was looking for him, but he hunted down Christians until he met the risen Christ himself on the road to Damascus. I say, do not wait until you are flattened out and struck down. But you know, the Great Commission is to all believers. What did the Lord say? All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore, be my witnesses. Go into all the world and be my witnesses. How many of you have remembered? So few, I say, this Great Commission should be called the Great neglected commission, neglected. People don't care. But Paul cared. And when Jesus struck him down, he said, "Lord, what is it you want me to do? I will do it." Immediately, Jesus sent him to the right person to lead him and to guide him. Do you know that Paul founded all the churches mentioned in the New Testament in the Mediterranean area? What a man, what a man. Have you founded one church? What is our enemy today? Our enemy number one. Our enemy number one is death. Death from what? Open the Straits Times and see the obituary page and see how many deaths are there. How many deaths are there in Singapore per day? Over 50. Over 50. From what? All kinds of causes. Today, our enemy number one claims victims by sickness, by accident, by old age, simply old age. You see how many of us are so activated and so happy and so elated. We are now PR. I came from Malaysia and I became PR Singapore. I even went to Australia, became PR Australia. What does it mean? Do you know what PR means? Permanent resident. Is there such a thing? Exists such a thing? Enemy number one, claim victims by death. When you die, you're no longer a citizen of Australia. Oh, dear friends, let us understand, PR is what God gives to you in heaven when you believe in Him and in His Son, Jesus Christ. Now, in the passage we read, it talks of our earthly house is like a tent. How many of us have lived in tents? I'm sure very, very few, except Boy Scouts and Girl Guides. Sometimes when they go camping, they live in tents. What do we do with the tent? In the morning, it is dismantled and packed up and rolled into a bunch, a bundle, and they take it home. That is a picture of our life here. No one is PR, please understand. Only a tent. And in one day, it will be dissolved. For God has prepared for us a better than a tent. It's called a building. These are the terms used in the passage we just read. A building eternal in the heaven. In heaven, God has prepared for you. In what passage of Bible? Very simple. John 14, 1-3. Let not your heart be troubled. You worried about your dwelling place? In my Father's house are many mansions. You don't have to wait for do it yourself or do build to order HDB flat. But in my Father's house, you have a Heavenly Father, and he says, in the Father's house are many mansions. Yes. But Paul here says, our earthly house. All of us have an earthly house. we are like a tent. A tent existence. You are here today, pack up, tomorrow you're gone. Please understand, no one is here forever. No one is for PR. So the question we should ask ourselves is, after death, what? After death, what? Oh, dear friends, many people say, especially Chinese, if it dies, finish. Is that so? As your breathing will stop, yes, that's for sure, when you die. But there are accounts to be settled. Have you settled your account? After death, what? After death, there is judgment. The Word of God says very clearly, as it is appointed unto men once to die, after this judgment, how have you done? You say, well, I am now a Christian. I don't think I'll be judged. Right or wrong? Wrong. You will still be judged. We will all be judged for our works. How have you been doing? Ask yourself. Ask yourself. Yes. Second Corinthians 5:10 says we must all appear. Must means must. When we attended our medicine lecture, the professor of medicine says, young people, in medicine we never say must. But when we say must, it is must. You must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. There is no escape. He says, see, swat. Oh, no, there's no such thing. Death is not the end of things. Death is only a comma. And there will be a judgment day. So, 2 Corinthians 5:11 says, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Tell the gospel. Tell them. Friendly, truly, and lovingly. Are we doing that? Give it a thought, young men and women, friends and members of Calvary in Pandan. There will be a judgment seat of Christ, which the Word of God says, after death, there is judgment. Oh, dear friends, be ready for that day. For the judgment seat of Christ is for everyone. You must appear there, whether you like it or not. Our Lord is very fair. Don't worry. If you have done well, He will give you a good mark. And it says in the scripture, the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Oh, yes. How many of you love death? Oh, yes. Sometimes some people in despair, hopeless situation, they commit suicide. That is because they give themselves the reward of death. But please remember, after death, there is a judgment seat of Christ to face. You have to face the Lord Jesus Christ. I say, are you ready? Even so, come, Lord Jesus. This is the Word of God says, even so, Lord Jesus, come.